And you're listening to the High Spot Podcast alongside my tag team partner and one member of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Moore, and I am Brian Berga. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast with the latest news and notes and everything us, the High Spot Podcast. Jeff, Extreme Rules came and went. So did a lackluster Raw. I mean, let's go over. I mean, we were live at Extreme Rules, and so many ways we can go on this. First of all, how are you?
I'm great, man. Just blown away, though, by how great, actually, Extreme Rules ended up being. We were a little bit hesitant, reluctant of what was going to happen. We were like,
we're a little concerned.
It wasn't really throwaway pay-per-view.
It wasn't really booked the way we wanted it, right?
Yeah, but hey, you know what? We had two great matches, and where do we begin? You could go with the IC title Fatal 4-Way match, which stole the show. But then how about AJ Styles and Roman Reigns coming up big in one of the, I would say, in recent memory, classics? And
which you don't see a lot of, folks. You don't see a lot of classic nowadays, especially when you add Roman Reigns in the equation. Again, it's not a slight on him, but it always depends on the person and talent you're working with. And AJ Styles has proven that nickname isn't a nickname. It isn't just something you put on a T-shirt. He is literally phenomenal. We'll dive into that in a little bit. Again, what a Raw, too, to kind of piggyback off of Extreme Rules. Could have gone so many directions. You were wondering what was going to go on, what was going to happen. And again, some lived up to the billing, some didn't. But let's go back to Extreme Rules. We were there. Crowd was, I could say, somewhat kind of electric. I mean, they were anticipating some big things. You had some pretty big matches lined up, although, like I said, we talked about promotion. Probably wasn't on par from what we had going into Payback, but still, yeah, some pretty good matches. I mean, let's start off with one thing that I was always intrigued in. We made our predictions. We know that I got everything completely wrong like I always do, but I still do it with good effort. Let's talk about the women's match, man. That thing still it puzzles my mind why it would happen. Charlotte defended the WWE Women's title against Natalya in a submission match. Ric Flair was banned from ringside. And Charlotte walks out retaining the title, but now has this weird alliance with Dana Brooke. Jeff, can you make sense of any of this?
Yeah, that was really weird. And from where we're sitting, we see a Ric Flair image kind of like right there in the front by the Titantron, and we're wondering, what's going on? And then we were like, is that Dana Brooke? And
you were the first one to call it, actually.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this is something different. But then, just seeing Natalya get outsmarted really was okay. I mean, they were having a so-so match. To me, the spot where Charlotte did that flip and landed right on Natalya was
doing the moonsault,
pretty
yep.
great, the moonsault. But again, the finish, would I have gone that way? I don't think so. Now she's aligned with Dana Brooke, obviously, because Emma's out probably the whole year with a back injury, so I could see that. So they're heavily pushing Dana Brooke, but you know what, though? There's only one dominant female, and it's Charlotte, and again, they're rolling. She's got the ball, and she's rolling with it. I can say that one thing, and whether they're setting up for a potential Sasha Banks feud, you don't know. But, to me, there's never any doubt that Charlotte was going to win.
More credit to Charlotte. We didn't think it was going to happen, and I guess Natty finally had her time in the spotlight in the Women's Championship match.
I mean, if you go nitpicking about, they don't have the mic skills, you could say that about a lot of people. My skill seems to be a huge thing with you that they really need to be great on the mic, or they need to be really good.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to be like a Phil Brooks on the microphone, or a Chris Jericho, or a Seth Rollins, or The Rock, or Stone Cold Steve Austin. But the main thing, Jeff, that you and I always talk about, and I always tell you, when it's like, I don't believe that person when they say it. You even talked about how when Natty talks, you lose your attention span, right? You wish she was more genuine. I'm looking for more people to be genuine when they're talking on the microphone, not just reading from a piece of paper and say, okay, my line is, I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy. I mean, I don't need
okay.
that. I need
5 minutes in a show and Roman Reigns.
I can't get away from it. It's just like, he's the new John Cena.
I understand where you're coming from. Just a little jab in you there because of the whole mic skills. But, all right, Dana Brooke.
Be careful.
How does she...
Don't mess with the bull, Jeff. You'll get the horns.
You get the horns, right? Where does she...
Breakfast
how does
club.
She get involved? Maybe we should call ourselves the Breakfast Club.
I don't have breakfast. I don't eat breakfast.
I don't believe in that, right? It's overrated. But, where does Dana Brooke fall in this? And, do we get answers on Monday? No. So we'll see. But I guess she needs now Dana Brooke to do her bidding. So, hey, but at the end of the day, though, just the result, Natalya. And then you don't see her on Raw, Natalya, right? You don't see her on Raw.
Yeah, you know what happened there, but...
So...
A little bit of a sour taste in her mouths when you look at the end of that match, though. But another one that kind of, I was expecting more, man. But I think when we did our pre-thoughts of what we thought the Asylum match was going to be, I thought it was a gimmick match. It's just a glorified cage match. Man, that one really lasted a long time. I mean, what were your thoughts on it?
Again, too much time. Sometimes maybe you can have too much of one good thing in Chris Jericho, but I'm not going to put the blame on Jericho. I mean, classic Jericho with the eyes popping out when he sees the thumbtacks, and I like the way they teased that. You know, they didn't go for it right away. It was kind of like a last part of the match thing.
I was hoping that this match was actually going to help elevate Ambrose into more of a, you know, the sinister type of lunatic fringe he claims on
it's
being.
Just the weapons were just too. I mean, you knew they were going to go for all the weapons.
Have a problem there talking?
No, I'm saying they're going to. That's how frustrated that match got me. You saw the weapons up there, right? And you're like, okay, they're going to use every single one. And, you know, the straight jacket was okay, the kendo stick and fire extinguisher. Okay, fine, you know, but I just, to me, 27 minutes, like, especially after the and Brian's laughing at me here because he's like, oh, Jeff's flustered.
Great seats, by the way, Jeff knows how to spoil me, but again, it's only fair because I spoil Jeff a lot with these events, but again,
it's the least I could do.
It's the least you could do, exactly. But, so many different ways you could have gone with it. You know, does it help Ambrose? I don't think so. Went way too long. I understand there's psychology to it. You want to build a story and you want to, you know, make everything count. But for the most part, a lot of people were just kind of, you know, looking at their watches saying, how much longer is it going to take? Because you're getting ready for the next event. So,
listen, one thing you want to do is you don't want to upset a Jersey crowd. And the Jersey crowd was like selling. So it was
which
yelling.
Doesn't take much to upset them.
Yeah, they were yelling, we want refunds. We want this. Oh, boring. And, you know, much respect for Jericho and Ambrose and what they did, and especially Jericho taking the thumbtacks, but again, went a little bit too long. You could have maybe thought that the New Day match with the Vaude Villains would have gone a little bit longer, but
no, speaking of pops.
But we were spoiled from the IC match.
That crowd is crazy for the New Day, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I think that thing is getting stale. The Jersey crowd was going crazy. They were chanting the New Day and saying verbatim what Big E says, "Oh, Jersey!" And it was amazing. We looked around the arena, and it was pretty good. Plus, our good friend, Dave Destruction, tweeted out and put on Facebook, you know, nothing beats a Jersey crowd. If you've ever been in Jersey, you know, there are a lot of reasons why you probably wouldn't want to go to Jersey, but if there is one particular reason, go to an event in Jersey, WWE. All I can say, you're going to see an exciting
crowd. Man. I will say, it was a really good crowd. They were into it.
I was expecting some empty seats.
But again, there was a reason to be loud and... And basically, the matches were all pretty good. Give credit where credit is due. A pay per view where you thought it was going to be ended up being like, yay, what a great time.
Yeah. What about great time, man? That fatal four way. I wouldn't say I wasn't expecting a good one because I knew all four of those guys could go and do really good in the ring and had some pretty good chemistry with one another. But man, they stole the show. Fake finish after fake finish. Cesaro going out. Kevin Owens being knocked out of the match early on with the hell of a kick by Sami Zayn making it a three-way. And then Kevin Owens comes in, dominates Cesaro so many times. Close, you thought they counted three. Having Miz tap out. Sami Zayn comes in. It was just amazing in terms of how you organize a match. And everybody says Fatal 4 ways of triple threat matches, they're tricky because if one thing goes wrong, it all kind of falls apart. Everything hit on point, and the crowd was just on the edge of their seats. You and I were especially.
Yeah, and typical, the heel, what that was a heel win by The Miz, because you know what? It's the best work he's done in a long time. And whether you want to credit Maurice or you want to credit just the people that he's been surrounded with, Cesaro, Owens, and Zayn, hey, it's the best work he's done in a long time. Obviously, you know, he's going to get the heat because he's the heel. He won in a heelish way. And it's more power to it because now, again, he's got the Intercontinental title. He can set up feuds with Cesaro, with Sami Zayn. And to me, a guy that really is kind of like twiddled in obscurity in The Miz now actually has a, you know, something significant role with the company.
What do you think is next for the Intercontinental title? I mean, we look at the competitors that are in that match. And now we've seen the result of what happened on Raw. Like, who's next in line? I mean, who would you put in to face up The Miz? Because, you know, you have a lot to live up to in that sense. That kind of made the Intercontinental title pretty important because I was on the edge of my seat watching it. What's next for The Miz, you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, You know, you like to think it's going to be one of those three guys, but, you know, we saw that Owens and Zayn advanced and Cesaro also advanced. So it's going to be interesting. You might have a different opponent for The Miz at Money in the Bank.
Anybody comes in mind? That might be it. Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews, man.
Who knows, man? They're pushing that guy. And I
pushing that guy? I mean, he just got smacked around by Sheamus. Jericho beats him and almost kind of kills Jericho. And did you see that thing where he apologized to Jericho when he got pinned?
Yeah,
like,
I saw.
I'm sorry, man. Something like that.
But again, they're trying to they're putting him on TV. Like, granted, he's been off TV for
TV
a little bit.
Like, yeah, for like a month. You haven't seen Apollo Crews.
But still, after WrestleMania, he was on for a good amount of time until they took him off for whatever reason it might be. Maybe he's in somebody's doghouse.
Maybe
I don't know.
Not connecting maybe with the fans. Like,
well, that's
what
I say. Talk about a glass half empty kind of. I'm trying to think of the other way around, and now you're just throwing back what I spewed at you. You know, very immature, Jeff.
But I didn't say Mike's cool. I just said he's not connecting with the crowd.
Okay, well, that's something I say too. You know, and you're always like, "Oh, give the guy time. What's going to happen? I don't have time, Jeff, for this." Okay, you know, we'll move on to the other matches. I mean, you had Gallows and Anderson.
Let's be honest.
The Usos. Okay, it was an okay match.
Let's be honest. The Bullet Club. The club.
It's called the Bullet Club.
The Bullet Club.
Should not have been the first match.
Okay, shouldn't have been the first match. Let's be honest. It was that. You wanted to see how they were going to do. It was okay. You know what? They're dropping the ball with this angle. It is what it is. They got their win. That's good. At least they're not getting buried. That's fine. But honestly, it was about the Intercontinental title. And the Jericho-Ambrose match you can talk about because, hey, you know what? It was really underwhelming. And then we got to go to AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. I mean, Roman Reigns and AJ Styles put on a great performance. And we were talking about this before and we were there. You know, it's the dance partner. It's the person that you have the match with. Because we were bored to death with Roman Reigns and Triple H. But Roman Reigns and AJ Styles, the last two pay-per-views, have just given you match of the year type, you know, contests. And to me, it's just that they have a great chemistry. I think AJ brings the best out of Roman, and Roman brings out the best of AJ Styles.
Definitely. Either you have chemistry or you don't. And clearly, AJ and Roman Reigns do. And everybody says, I keep attacking Roman Reigns and saying he's not that good. Like I said, I feel majority of it, and I'll stand by this, and you guys have a problem with it, you know, obviously hit us up on Twitter. Tell us what you think, at High Spot Podcast, because I feel majority of the credit should be given, although the commentary might say different. I feel the majority of the whole credit and the pat on the back should go to AJ Styles. He made Roman Reigns look amazing, and everybody's like, oh, well, Roman Reigns, he's improving as a wrestler. Yes, he is, but it's hard right now at this point in his career to say Roman Reigns, go out there and make a guy. But AJ Styles can go out and make a guy. He made Roman Reigns at Payback, and he made him at Extreme Rules more legit than he was prior to post-WrestleMania. Wouldn't you say?
No, yeah, I totally agree. But again, though, my issue is that, yes, AJ Styles really helped Roman Reigns. And Triple H, I think, kind of bored us with the Roman Reigns match, you know? And it's no offense to Triple H whatsoever, but it just...
The man is going on 50, though.
Yeah, but still, you know, it just didn't work. It's oil and water. It just did not work. Just like him and Randy didn't work at WrestleMania 25. But
yeah, they don't mix, man. They really don't mix.
So, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing another AJ Styles-Roman Reigns match. It'd be interesting. But again, at one point, we never thought that AJ Styles was going to win. You know, we were teased, and we thought, hey, maybe they're going to do the right thing. But no.
Well, I thought they're going to do that. They're going to do that at Payback. And so I was waiting more for the club, the Bullet Club, to, you know, turn their back on AJ Styles. You know, that didn't theoretically happen either. You know, we knew Finn Balor wasn't coming either. But what somebody did surprise us, which kind of put a kibosh on the whole AJ Roman Reigns rivalry, that it's finished, it's done, you're not seeing it anymore. The return of Seth Rollins.
Yeah, the architect is back.
Rebuilt. Back to, what was it, rebuilt to reclaim?
Yeah.
I'm missing one.
You should have brought it up because I don't know either.
You're the first one that told me about it.
It was rebuilt,
reformed, something like that. Yeah. But again, it's all merch.
Go on W Shop to
get it.
Because shirts were available immediately after the event. So.
Smart money. But anyway, he comes back, looks great, looks in phenomenal shape. Really had a huge pop from the crowd. And, you know, we were debating, like, what's going to happen here? You know, we knew he was coming in. He was going to have so much momentum because the crowd was begging for Rollins, saying thank you for pedigreeing Roman Reigns at the end of Extreme Rules.
Oh, yeah.
And then he comes out
nuts
on Raw in Baltimore and does, I think, a masterful job. I think a lot of credit went to when he first got the ball, when he betrayed the Shield, and then he had to give that first promo after he had done it. I think he nailed it. He knocked this one out of the park. He turned everybody that was there cheering for him, saying, I miss you, thank you, welcome back, and turned them all with a middle finger saying, I don't need any of you guys.
You know why I cringe, though? I cringe because you wanted him to be face, because it made sense to be face. So when he went and turned back on the audience, yeah, you got the boos, but you know, you're like, oh, man, you know, you kind of want to see a face Rollins take on a heel Roman Reigns.
Did you really think he was going to be face?
I would have liked to think they would have done the right thing. But then again, you know, Roman Reigns is going to be the face, and that's what they want to go with. So that's fine. Eventually, the thing is, Seth Rollins will be a face because Triple H will come back, and you know that they're going to mix it up one way or another, whether it's SummerSlam or some other time. You know that Triple H is going to come back, and you know it's going to set up a feud with Rollins. So eventually, he'll be a face. But right now, you know, you cringe because it would have made sense. But now you have basically heel and face going at it at Money in the Bank.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you what made me cringe. What made me cringe more was when they're doing the qualifying now for Money in the Bank. That's the next, you know, pay-per-view, next event that's going to be on the network or on pay-per-view for the
WWE.
I'm
excited for that, though.
I am, too, because you have a lot of ways you can go. But again, every single time I think that we talk about there's so many ways to go here and so many directions, the WWE, I feel creative at least, ends up finding a way to mess it up or not make it work, or you're thinking, what were you thinking? But in this case, you know, I was cringing when I saw AJ Styles going one-on-one with Kevin Owens, and what a great way to end a Raw, finally. That's a main event worth ending Raw on,
oh,
I
man, if you guys didn't see it, you need to catch Monday's Raw and check out Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. They had probably one of the best TV matches in a long time, so you know, definitely check it out. And hey, Kevin Owens, hey, got the win. He advanced to Money in the Bank. A little surprised there that AJ Styles didn't get the win.
I'm a little surprised that he lost clean, because before the match started, he did like a little high school breakup with the Bullet Club with Gallows and Anderson, saying, you know, it's not you guys, it's me. Maybe we should go our separate ways, but still be friends. I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah, why would you?
Oh, it's
going to
be like that.
It just makes no sense.
Exactly. I mean, once you break up, you're not going to be best friends anymore. I mean, you basically broke up the relationship, AJ. I don't know what you're.
And in a brotherhood, when you cut off something in a brotherhood, that's even more personal, because these guys, again, in Japan, that's how they rolled. They were brothers. They were boys. You know, you don't put anything else in front of a brotherhood. And, hey, you know, AJ Styles now. What do you think, though? They left the door open because they said they didn't attack him, you know. But do you think that the Bullet Club can tell AJ Styles, hey, you know what, dude? Listen, you couldn't win without us. You need us. Do you think there's a window there that AJ Styles goes back to Gallows and Anderson?
I think there might be a hint there, because the mere fact that he lost clean against Kevin Owens, and then basically the commentating saying that, you know, wow, AJ, you know, he didn't have help with the boys anymore and he lost fair and square. That means can he beat the legitimate guys? Can he beat the big names? And in this case, he couldn't. So I think it leaves a window open there for him. And who knows? I still think there's going to be betrayal here. Before you know it, we're still got to wait to see what happens with Finn Balor. There's no doubt that Finn Balor is going to put Samoa Joe over at NXT.
That's what I'm saying. After June 8th, anything goes.
That's where all the questions will be answered. Exactly. And what else? You know, the qualifiers, you know, and this is another thing going back to the women, is that you and I went on it for weeks and weeks, probably months now, talking about, oh no, separate Rick from Charlotte. Don't separate her. Why? What's the point? Keep them together longer. It finally happened, man. And that was kind of, you saw the emotion behind it. I liked that they tried to make it personal, because then it's more relatable, right? But, man, the way Charlotte was trying to deliver it, it's like she was, like, losing herself. Some people say it's their best mic work they've ever done. And I'm like, well, what were you watching? Seriously, she was, like, literally almost crying while she was talking about it.
Well, it isn't emotional, and I guess it is real to Charlotte. But I think she got more, I guess, flustered by the crowd with the what chance. I still think she needs to...
Her delivery's not there.
There you go. The delivery of the heel way to do it, you know what I mean? Once she gets more confident, once she has a couple more of those in her, I think she'll get it, because she's too talented not to get it. So I think it was okay, but to think it was anything more than just subpar, you're just lying to yourself because it's real. She's emotional. You know, she loves her dad, in all honesty, you know.
Yes.
They've hung out together. They've gotten probably closer than they've ever been the last couple of months traveling together. So, I mean, there is some reality to that. There probably is some hard feelings that she probably did feel when he was on the road. And you know, Rick felt it. Rick admitted that he wasn't there for his kids when he was younger. He was doing him. So, yeah, that had to touch a nerve. And also, man, you just love Ric Flair because he cries over anything. And, you know, and then to see him after that leaving – just leaving with his, you know, briefcase and Renee Young asking him what his thoughts were and just seeing him get emotional. You know, it touched base with her. And it had to be hard for Charlotte. She had to do two really tough promos. One on her
brother. With Paige and talking about her brother that passed away.
Talking about Reed. And then, you know, this one. So, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I don't want to get on her, but yeah, you know, it was subpar.
It was. I mean, both were subpar when I really look back and think about it, but... You know, she talks about, you know, in the promo, she's confident than she's ever been. Like I said, delivery is what matters. There has to be some conviction. Now, I'm not saying there was no conviction. You could tell she was feeling real emotion, but the delivery there, and if you're going to be potentially, you know, she says, I'm not the man, I'm the woman. You have to really be more, you have to be really more, yeah, it's really good too. You have to be really aware of where you are. You can't let the crowd fluster you because as soon as you let the crowd know that that they're affecting you, you've completely lost it.
Especially like the night after WrestleMania too, when she received the Women's Championship.
Yep.
She was a little flustered there too, and you see Rick wanted to save her there, but yeah, she was on her own. But she recovered, and
so now we'll finally find out the truth. Can she now stand on her own 2 feet? She'll have Dana Brooke as a sidekick, bodyguard, whatever you want to call it. And can she do it now without the Nature Boy?
And now she can make another shirt. To be the woman, you've got to beat the woman.
Exactly.
How about that? Royalties, WWE. Come on.
Royalties,
I could use it.
But another thing I wanted to touch base on you, Jeff, before I kind of wrap this up here, is that, you know, with all the things going on, it also comes bittersweet. Because you look at guys like AJ, you look at guys like Seth Rollins and just people from NXT that were hoping to come up to the main roster, right? And you're like, oh, I can't wait till they use this guy because, you know, they can do this with them and that with them. But then you start kind of forgetting the existing talent that's already there. Guys that are somewhat established already, have been there for a certain amount of years and they're misused.
The victims of the new era?
Yes, the victims of the new era. And unfortunately, I mean, we were shocked with so many releases from the WWE, you know, one being Wade Barrett, which we already knew that was going, Damian Sandow, a guy who's done nothing but get himself over with everything the WWE has given him, and now the next victim on it, if we want to say victim, I guess
left before he became a victim, but hey, here's a guy that just got fed up and left.
And much respect to a guy like Cody Rhodes, who has so much legacy in wrestling due to his family and the lineage there, decided that, you know, the money wasn't worth it, and he kind of just wanted to be happy. Ends up asking for his release, gets it from the WWE, and then goes on.
It shows you how much they really wanted to keep him anyways, because if they really wanted you, they'd be like, no, don't talk about it. But no, obviously they were like, sure, Cody, we'll grant you a release.
Yeah, and afterwards immediately goes on Twitter and posts a letter that he had written about just all his feelings. And the thing that I respect the most about Cody is, first of all, when I first saw him at the Hall of Fame when he was inducting his father, the late, great Dusty Rhodes, with Dustin there as well, was how eloquent, not just respectful, how eloquent he speaks. Every word he says, he takes time to say it, and he never gets flustered talking about it. And the letter just kind of emulates that, because he goes on that he's a pro wrestler. You and I always talk about, you know, sports entertainment. We love pro wrestling, and he is a pro wrestler. And at the same time, he felt he needed to go explain to the fans. How many times do you see this in real life where anybody in entertainment doesn't feel like they need to explain to anybody? They're like, you know what, you guys, you know, may have, you know, bought my t-shirts, but, you know, I don't owe you guys anything. And Cody had the conscience to say, you know what, guys, I want to explain to you guys because I feel like I owe it to you. That shows the heart that Cody Rhodes has.
Yeah, plus it was a chance for him to vent, you know, just get a lot of stuff off his chest. And hey, listen, let's be honest.
But he didn't come off angry, though.
No, he didn't. To me, it told the truth. Yeah. To me, there's no lying. There's no bitterness. It's just a flat out how he was feeling and what happened. The worst thing is, not even the worst thing, because you know what? Come off bitter because, hey, you're mad. You felt like you got cheated. Why not? Mm-hmm. But here, Hey, no, he just told it like it was. And to be honest with you, it's really comes to this, Bri. And we say it again, we get mad at Roman Reigns, but you know what? It's really not his fault. It's the way he gets booked. And we go back to creative. And we talk about creative. And you know what? Here's a guy that wanted to go back to being Cody Rhodes. Thought he could do something. Again, he was dashing Cody Rhodes. He had the tag team with Damian Sandow. Even Stardust, he took it as far as he could, right?
Yeah, he made it
work.
And
the guy just requested to go back to Cody Rhodes. But obviously, something got lost in translation. The creative didn't want to even hear it.
I think that more than anything, you know, not that it got lost in translation.
The fact that this guy has been there for 10 years,
creative didn't want
to
hear,
has contributed, you know, what he's, you know, contributed to the business and to the WWE, for him to get the cold shoulder from the writers. Hey, you know what? The reality is, if the writers don't like you, if they have nothing for you, they don't need you, and they don't want to talk to you. And to me, a guy like Cody Rhodes, hey, your father's the great legend, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, you kind of might want to like pay even somewhat of attention to the guy. And he didn't get paid attention, and that's flat out what's going on.
And no offense to Dustin Reynolds. I mean, he did a phenomenal job with the Goldust character. I think more than anybody could have ever imagined that character goes.
How many more versions of Goldust can he get?
But not just that, but I always felt Cody had a higher ceiling because he just had so much more potential. And I think even Dustin realized it too.
Was he World Heavyweight Championship material for to you?
I think so. I think he was. I think his
crazy
moment.
I don't think you're crazy, man. I think, and if
well,
it
not,
was our
not
world,
you. I think other people might
think
that.
I think if
that
it was our world, I think he definitely would be a World Heavyweight Champion material.
And you want to know when I saw it? I saw it at Money in the Bank when he went to go, and he had an amazing match when Damian Sandow finally, you know, knocked him off the ladder to get the belt. The crowd was so for Cody. I mean, at that moment, what more proof do you need from the audience, the people that are paying to go to the arenas, paying for the merch, paying for all these things now, like the network? What more proof does the creative need that this guy, you need to push him because the crowd wants to see him succeed? Similar to like a Daniel Bryan. But again, alas, it didn't happen, and it is what it is. Cody now, you know, with his held high, walks off into the sunset, you know, puts an end, a close to his WWE career. Who knows, you know, in this business, they always say never, you know, you don't know what the future holds. But for Cody right now, I think depending on litigation, will the WWE keep him from competing in another league, whether it be TNA or Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground or, you know, Japan? Will they do that? We still have yet to see because there's still, you know, there's supposedly heat on Cody Rhodes. But
yeah, because
we'll see
that
what happens.
Tweet, I mean, kind of told the truth, and WWE doesn't like to be told the truth.
No.
So especially in on Twitter. So, hey, that's going to be something that they're going to have to work out. But you know what? Cody Rhodes, obviously, a weight has been lifted off his shoulders. So we also talked about Extreme Rules, and we also did a little bit of Money in the Bank. But we had a chance to catch up with Della Zanova, who is the writer for PW Mania, and she has her own section, the WWE comment section, which she writes and does a great job. And she joined us to talk about, you know, Extreme Rules, a little bit of Money in the Bank, talk about Roman Reigns, and also talk about Charlotte. She had a great piece on Charlotte, and she felt that Charlotte delivered on Monday night. So had a chance to get a chance to talk to her, and you can follow her at Della Lazanova. And just offered some great stuff, and me and Brian had the chance to talk to her, and here's what she had to say.
First thing I want to ask you, I mean, what kind of got you involved to want to, you know, Jeff and I, we always loved it, so we thought, you know, made sense to kind of talk about it since it's something we're passionate about. Did the same thing happen for you, that you wanted to kind of express yourself because you're very passionate about pro wrestling?
Pretty much the same story. I always watched wrestling. I had the period when I was off wrestling, and then I moved to the UK, and I went to uni, and then with all the free time on my hands, yes, I was still studying, but yes, with all the free time on my hands, I thought, let's go back to wrestling. And that was roughly around the time when the Shield were very strong, and I think that was what got me back into it, because the writing there was brilliant, and I haven't stopped ever since. And then I decided to start writing about it, because I was pestering my friends with my wrestling talk, and nobody else watched it, so they all said, you know what, you just go and write about it, because there will be other people who actually want to listen about it.
Yeah, it's very funny. Very few people can appreciate a good conversation when it comes to something called professional wrestling, when everybody's like, ah, it's fake. Why do you want to waste your time talking about something like that? Now, you said you started watching again when the Shield started coming up. Great time to watch it, too. Jeff and I really enjoyed watching the Shield and how dominant they were. At what point did you start like not seeing it when that time span occurred? What was the last thing before the Shield that you remembered watching from WWE product?
Oh, that's a very hard question, because I think it was quite a long time.
Yeah, Jeff and I were always kind of on and off on it, especially after the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I think when the Attitude Era died out, I stopped, and it was hard to get it on TV as well, and I didn't have that much time when the internet wasn't as good as it is now, so
yes.
I stopped for a few years, maybe 5-6 years, and then I went back into it in, what, maybe 2009? Then I stopped for a few months, but the thing is, I got my nephew into it. We only have 4.5 years difference with him. So he got into it with me around 2009, and then I stopped for a few months. But then the shoot came up, and he kept talking to me saying, they're great, they're awesome, you have to see this. And once I saw it, I was back on.
So it brought you back in. Della, you know, it's crazy. Like, you know, we're trying to, you know, get you on here. I'm thinking United Kingdom. I'm like, okay, you told me you're, you know, in the UK. And I'm thinking, okay, what voice am I going to hear? Am I going to hear somebody sound like Paige? Am I going to hear somebody sound like Becky Lynch? And then I just talked to you, and you're Bulgarian. And I'm like, oh, so we got the Bulgarian beauty with us here on the show. So I'm like, so I was like totally shocked. So I was thinking, okay, all right, she's going to sound like Paige. No, she's going to sound like Becky. But no, I'm getting a Bulgarian. So how did you get to the UK?
I came here to study. I did a psychology course and then a broadcast journalism course and a bit of work for the BBC. And then I went to my wrestling work. And that's what I'm doing right now.
So talking about wrestling, how about Extreme Rules? I know everyone's going to talk about Seth Rollins, but I mean, it was a really strong card. From top to bottom, there was a couple of, okay, pretty good matches, but which match stood out for you the most?
Wrestling-wise, the Intercontinental Championship match.
Yes. Fatal 4-Way, oh my God.
Stole the show, didn't it?
Well, absolutely, with the people involved, it couldn't go any other way, really.
What was your least favorite of the card? The one you could do away with and say, yeah, this could have gone a little bit shorter.
You know what? Maybe the Usos versus the Club, because it didn't really bring anything. I mean, the Club should have been awesome, but it was booked badly, so the entire storyline was flat.
Yeah, you know what? It seems like, to me, they're kind of dropping the ball with the whole Club angle. Even though they won, they beat the Usos, still could have been booked maybe a little bit stronger. You know, I was telling Brian, like, the big argument was, you know, to me, this should be a fresh matchup. I mean, we saw on SmackDown, we saw it on Raw. You know, to me, I think they're kind of dropping the ball with this angle. What do you think they could do different?
They pretty much ruined it already, in the sense that the club
it's over.
The moment of it, after Raw. The problem was that when they came on, Gallows and Anderson, they became a sideshow to Reigns versus AJ Styles. And their appearance there was so mixed up with the Usos and the championship scheme at the same time that we didn't really see them stand out. And Reigns was booked to come on top every single time. And how can you make two guys look strong if you are making them lose to one single dude, really?
Della, I sense your frustration there. I mean, are you as frustrated as we are? The fact that, you know, something that could have been so good and so impactful. I mean, Jeff and I have gone on certain shows talking about how the Bullet Club with Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson kind of was similar to like the NWO. I mean, it had an opportunity to be something huge. And you share, I can just sense you have the same frustration as we do, where there are so many different ways you could have gone with this. And they just decided, you know, do you get the sense that, with Jeff and I, that the WWE, just because they didn't create it, they really don't want to market it because it wasn't something that was made in the WWE?
Yeah, I think there might be something like this. Also, that an actual Bullet Club still exists at the moment somewhere else, and they wanted to play with it, use the fact that the fans want to see it, and move that without actually doing it. It's the same with the Finn Balor Bullet Club t-shirts. They were out much before any of this ever happened, but that's because the fans are going to buy it. It's just business. And mentioning the connection between Gallows, Anderson, and AJ Styles was a means of getting the people to care more about the feud that was going on at the moment between Reigns and Styles. But it was never meant to be the Bullet Club at the WWE. Possibly they could revive it with Finn Balor later on, but it's not going to be right now, I think.
Exactly, and also too, man, if they would have had like a backstory to them, if like we, like me and you know that they're from Japan, we know that they're the Bullet Club, we know, you know, their success in Japan, but you know what, the market here in the WWE, the 9-year-old, the 10-year-old, that fan is not going to know exactly, you know, who they are, where they're coming from. They see two guys and they're like, okay, but I think WWE could have had, like, for example, like one of those sit downs with Michael Cole where you get to know them, where they're from and stuff. And I think starting out, they didn't really have that chance to do so. I mean, you heard the conversation between them and AJ and they probably thought that was enough, but I think that, you know, more could have been done just to give a backstory of where they came from. But my thing was too, is this had a chance to be something big, like NWO-ish, in my opinion. And for example, if you just go back and do the exact same thing with the Bullet Club like you did with the NWO, do that same thing, it's been 20 years. It'll work. It'll bring money, in my opinion.
Yeah, because the WWE anyway recycles storylines all the time, so why not?
Yes, why not? Seriously, I mean, it's been done before and it's worked. Why reinvent the wheel, you know? It's always been the same thing. Oh, we're going to do something different, but now it's basically doing the same thing that hasn't worked. Why don't you do something that actually works? Listen to the audience, please. That's all we beg for the WWE or any promotion out there, would be Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, TNA, which is having their own troubles there. But going back to Extreme Rules, Della, what I wanted to ask you is, you know, the main thing that I was curious of to watch to see how they were going to book it correctly was actually the women's title match between Charlotte and Natalya. This had the makings of, you know, Charlotte now kind of standing on her own two feet, and there's going to be no excuses. She's not going to have Ric Flair at her side. And then you had the curveball, which none of us really kind of understood while we were there, because Jeff and I were actually there at Extreme Rules watching it live. Dana Brooke now aligning herself with Charlotte, costing basically Natty the match, distracting her, and obviously having Charlotte submit her with the figure eight to walk out still the WWE Women's Champion. What's your reaction to the Women's Revolution? Do you feel it's still a work in progress?
There's a lot of work to be done there, because the Women's Division doesn't really get as much time, mostly time, as the Male Division does, in the sense that you have one storyline, and that's the title. Always that, and nothing else on top. Well, occasionally something, but it's really so brief that you don't really see it. So a lot of female talent just sits around doing nothing. And as for Extreme Rules, when I saw the whole fiasco with Dana Brooke at Extreme Rules, I wasn't impressed, let's say. But when I saw the effect of it on Raw, that's when I started to appreciate it. And I'll tell you why, because in the beginning, I still think this is completely out of character for Dana Brooke, because she's her character is very arrogant, self-obsessed. She just thinks she's the most awesome person there. She's the total diva. And you get Ric Flair, who tells her there would be no Dana Brooke without Charlotte. It's not like her to accept that and just nod and say, yeah, that's definitely like it. Because when she was with Emma, Dana was always, even though she was the rookie, she was still on a similar level. She never felt like a sidekick. Actually, at some point, Emma started feeling like a sidekick to Dana Brooke. So now getting into this role of a supporting character is very, very strange. But when I saw Raw and the way that Charlotte spoke, that was her best mic work I've heard. She just came out of her shell. And she moved it up a notch, because if she could, I was saying in my article, they were saying that she's getting stale. She's a good heel, but it's been very repetitive and it's been going on for too long. And now, because she dropped her dad, she has the potential to develop as a different type of heel, even stronger. So for Charlotte, that's good. For Dana Brooke, I'm not that certain. I don't know what you think.
You mentioned how you thought that, you know, Charlotte did a really good job with her mic skills when she did that promo, basically destroying her father and talking about her childhood, getting really personal and leaving Ric Flair into tears as he walked back and left the arena. I kind of saw it a different way. I kind of saw, you know, was Charlotte very flustered and maybe she was going back to the previous emotions of her childhood, but didn't you notice that she was kind of stumbling over lines and the crowd was kind of getting to her?
The crowd kind of got her with the what?
Yeah, I noticed, but that's the emotion that I actually liked. I think it might be a personal taste, but just because she was so emotional, they seem to like using personal storylines when it comes to her. And here, she came really strong. Her voice trembled, and you could feel the emotions boiling inside of her, and that made the segment that much more interesting. Otherwise, if she was just acting, it was just flat, like the Bellas when they talk.
Oh, God, no.
Whenever the Bellas talk, I just ignore it.
I just mute it, and then I just wait for another segment.
So, yeah, I think there is a potential in this. I think Ric Flair a bit overreacted and overacted, really, because it's obviously acting. Mm-hmm. It became a bit too much of a soap opera at the end, but I like Charlotte in her role.
Oh, definitely. And they have soap opera writers, too, so it felt like I was watching an episode of Young and the Restless or Days of Our Lives. Ric Flair really was shedding those tears, but...
But he's a crier. You know he's a crier.
He's always been a crier.
He's probably, there is some realness to what they were talking about. So
yes.
It must have hit a nerve. So I you could tell, you're right, Charlotte was trembling. She's probably, thinking, man, I'm really saying this to my dad, And, Ric Flair, again, he recognized that he wasn't there when they were young.
Yeah, and you probably answered this question already, but just to revert and just kind of segment it there, I think it was too early. Should it have been done earlier, separating Charlotte from her father, or should they maybe have waited longer, or just this is the perfect time to do it?
It would have happened earlier, in my opinion, because it was just repetitive. There was nothing new to add in this storyline. But right now, it's better than later. That's for sure.
Yes, that's definitely for sure. Exactly.
So, again, we were talking about, the women's championship and give us your take on that. But again, I want to talk to you about also another person that a lot of people talk about, whether they like him or they don't, and that's Roman Reigns. Now, we were there and there was this chance of you can't wrestle. Brian, I don't know how much he agrees with that, but I kind of think that, he actually came up big at Payback, at Extreme Rules. To me, he's looking like he's getting better. And to me, the shade of gray of him being either heel or a bad guy, to me, they still got to decipher that. He's one or the other, okay? So tell me, what is your opinion on Roman
Reigns? He's not a good guy, Jeff. He's not a bad guy either. He's
the guy.
The guy.
Yeah, so. but what is your opinion on Roman Reigns?
Oh, with Roman Reigns, it's an ironical situation right now. Because for a long time, ever since the Shield split up, I was defending him in my articles because it's not his fault. None of this is his fault. It's just the way he's booked. Because one year the fans chant for him and the next moment they turn on him. And it's just publicity. And he didn't change from his days in the Shield when everyone loved him. He's remained exactly the same guy. So I even felt bad for him because at some point he was trying to really be a babyface and it so didn't work for him. It was so unnatural. And he was trying. But nowadays, I think I got frustrated with him in the last couple of months maybe because he never loses. I mean, I know that that's not new. But recently with AJ Styles and the Bullet Club specifically, because his invincibility completely ruined the storyline. That's when it started to bother me that much. But I completely agree with you that his wrestling is actually improving, and that's why it's so ironical, because he's getting better, but he can't get the cheers just because he's already accumulated so much animosity from the fans. And the easiest thing to do, simplest thing to do, would have been to turn him heel, have Rollins arrive as a face, and everyone was saying that. That's not rocket science. That was easy, because people wanted to see Seth's face, and everyone hates Roman, so he could be the top heel right now. And then his brutality, his wrestling, they would all be appreciated.
I know, and Roman does have a lot of heel tendencies, but the question is it just stubbornness on Vince McMahon saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to go with this guy. This is the guy that I see. I want him to be the face of the company. Do you think it's just stubbornness on their part that, you know what, this is where we're going to go, this is what we're going to do? I mean, Vince McMahon even said that, you know what, he doesn't get cheers or boos. He touches a nerve with everybody. So that's what they're, you know, what they're saying. But do you think it's just stubbornness on the part of the WWE?
I think in a way, it's WWE's way of saying, we own this. You can't tell us what to do. And whether you like it or not, we're still making money out of it. And they are trying to make Roman Reigns into John Cena, not in the sense the same personality, but the same type of character. They're trying to create this polarizing character that's going to get a we hate you and we love you response at the same time.
No, because the response is pretty clear that they hate him, or at least, you know, the women and the kids love him similar to like a John Cena. And we're speaking to Della, and, you know, let's see if I don't butcher this anymore. Lasanova?
Lasanova.
Close enough. But you can catch her on Twitter as well. And she graces us with her presence too. But, you know, I'm rolling up my sleeves now, guys, because now you guys got me heated talking about Roman Reigns.
Here we go.
The next version. I mean, if John Cena was the next version of Hulk Hogan, Roman Reigns is the next version of John Cena. And granted, his wrestling has improved. But at the same time, I don't feel sorry for him because, you know, like you said, Della, you know, he hasn't changed. And that's probably his biggest problem. He doesn't change. You have to evolve in this business. You have to change your character. And, you know, he's improved in his wrestling, but his mic skills are still pitiful. He can't even read things that are scripted for him and deliver them properly. I mean, what were those acting lessons for anyway? And third of all, his invincibility is similar to John Cena. But the problem is with Roman Reigns is that there's no levels to his character. We don't understand him. He says he talks about his family. He talks about the big fight. He believes, you know, one versus all. I mean, what is it? I don't know what Roman Reigns is. What is he, Jeff? What is he, Della? Can you guys explain to me what Roman Reigns is?
You know, another thing that bugs me too is like the announcers go out of their way to praise Roman Reigns last night. And you know what? There was another person at that dance. It was AJ Styles. They said, oh, another classic by Roman Reigns. But wait a minute. I think it's the dance partner in AJ Styles that kind of helped him look good too.
Yeah, but the point is to sell your own guy, isn't it? Because Roman is the guy, isn't he?
Oh, the guy. Yeah, when he said it after WrestleMania, it was pretty cool. And I thought, hey, maybe he has an attitude now.
I'm still waiting for the shirts.
I'm still waiting for the shirts. It's still one versus all. But, you know, not to continue on Roman Reigns and AJ Styles, like I said, you know, I'm sure we can all agree that as good as Roman Reigns is getting and how people want to praise him, it still takes, like Jeff said, two to dance. You're only as good as the person you're in there with. And I think a guy like AJ Styles in their last two matches at Payback and Extreme Rules has made Roman Reigns look even better than he can even expect to look. And that's just a credit to AJ Styles.
I mean, because think about this, though, Della. The match with Triple H, I mean, that was... It was like watching...
Paint dry.
It was, because I remember, like, Triple H, respect him, respect everything he's done, but it reminded me of Orton and Triple H at WrestleMania. I think it was 25.
Yeah, it was no disqualification.
And it was just... It just dragged and dragged. To me, when you put him with somebody like AJ Styles, it's more enjoyable, but, you know, it's just the dance partner. You need to have someone good to work with. I think with Seth Rollins coming back, I think Seth Rollins can also provide a good match for Roman Reigns.
Well, Seth Rollins can make anyone look good.
Yes.
It's just, I'll never understand why they brought him back as a heel.
Yeah.
Explain to me why, apart from trying to make Roman look like a face, which still won't work.
Well, I think you kind of just answered your own question, Della, is that, you know, you want to explain to you? I mean, I've been trying to figure out for the longest time why Roman Reigns is still theoretically relevant in this time. I mean, Seth Rollins had to come back. I mean, the only way I could have seen him come back as a face would be if, say, the Authority was still in command and Triple H was now the champion still, and now Seth Rollins wanted to go after what he never lost and was going up against an Authority, then the crowd would be behind him. But here, I think it makes perfect sense. He comes to a ruckus crowd, not only Extreme Rules, but at Raw. They absolutely love him. They're cheering, "We missed you," all that stuff. And he completely does a beautiful job of turning it right back on them and saying, "You guys never cared for me. I took all the letters and stuff and I threw them in the garbage." He is has to be the heel right now because Roman Reigns, like you said, is the face. He's the guy. And the WWE will do whatever it takes to say, "Listen, we're not listening to you fans. We're making Roman Reigns them one guy. And you can cheer Seth Rollins if you want." Wouldn't you agree? Makes sense that way?
Well, that is WWE's logic, I guess, but it would have been better, I think, for both if Roman was the heel, in the sense that ever since he started with the "I'm not the good guy, I'm not a bad guy" thing, he moved into a tweener position, well, reverse tweener, because he's a face acting slightly like a heel, but and gets a heel reaction. But anyway, the point is, he... Roman as a heel would get booed out of the building as usual, because he does. And Seth, he could be anything. So yes, he is really, really good on the microphone, so he managed to turn everything around. But you can't tell me that in a match, when they get their pay-per-view match for the title, the fans are actually going to boo Seth. That's not going to happen.
No, no, it's not. Whoever takes the title from Roman Reigns is going to be the babyface. Whoever it is.
And the other thing is, in that WWE, the continuity doesn't always work. Most cases, they completely forget things that happened before. So it would have made sense if Seth arrived, took Reigns out, and then stood there and said, "Yes, I did a lot of things before, but right now I've redesigned myself and I'm going to reclaim what was mine. And I'm going to take this guy down because he's not as good as I am. He's not what the WWE needs. And here you go. He gets a pop." It's just that easy.
So we're wrapping up here with our little take on Raw and the Rollins return. And, you know, given our 2 cents on Roman Reigns again, which, you know, there's nothing new about that. But now heading into Money in the Bank, we know the main event, Rollins and Reigns. But the match is really interesting to me is the match itself, the Money in the Bank match itself. And we saw some pretty good matches last night. What to you, what do you think, who do you think is a favorite? I mean, to be honest with you, I'm going to go with Kevin Owens.
I heard rumors about Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah? Dish, please.
It's just I've seen a few articles here and there saying that the rumors that Kevin Owens is going to get a huge push, possibly for the World Heavyweight Championship. But those are just rumors, and I don't know if you can trust that.
Well, I thought we're holding you to that now, Della.
I thought that you were going to mention about how he had a bad experience at a restaurant the last couple of days. Did you hear about that?
No. What
happened? He supposedly he was in Montreal. He was back. You know how funny he is. He likes to play with people on Twitter, right? And he'll block people and he'll joke around. But he was actually at a restaurant when he was taking his wife, and I guess the service was really bad. And so Kevin Owens had no problems, you know, telling how he felt on Twitter and talking about the place. But supposedly the owner has his own podcast with a buddy of his, and they really trashed Owens, saying, you know, this and that, and that he was only there for 20 minutes, and that they offered, you know. So basically, Kevin went on a rant and just defending himself, saying, "Oh, you know, no, this is actually what happened. If you cared to, you know, if you cared to actually tell the truth." So it's just funny. Kevin Owens is just his own guy, and I'll tell you what, he is so entertaining to me, and he just has that special thing. Even when he talked to Cole yesterday about in his match, yesterday, it was great. He's like, "Michael Cole, I can hear you do commentary. So shut up." I mean, that was great. It just Kevin Owens has that it factor.
Oh, he does, absolutely. In the beginning, when he arrived in NXT, I totally hated him. But I hated him as in the way you should hate a heel.
He was doing his job.
He was such a good heel. And now I can't get enough of him. Just because...
And Jeff both.
He has so much character. He never stops talking, even when he's wrestling. And he says the weirdest things, but always at the right time.
My favorite thing is he always puts somebody in a headlock and screams the headlock master, which is actually now viral on YouTube, where they do a vignette of that. So yes, he'll say whatever it is, and it'll be a catchphrase on Twitter, or it'll just be on YouTube.
But what do you think about Money in the Bank, though? Who do you think is your favorite to come out?
looking at the people who actually are fighting for the title, which are Rollins and Reigns, the logical choice would be to give the briefcase to Ambrose, because you wouldn't know who he would turn on.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, too, I have a lot of people here that really have an issue with Dean Ambrose. To me, he doesn't bother me. I mean, he does his, you know, he does his lunatic fringe, and, you know, it's funny. But you know what? People want to see the edginess. They want to see that edginess, and they want, like, maybe that Brian Pillman kind of guy. So, to me, a lot of people, like, that I know, don't like Dean Ambrose. They think they're putting him way too high on the card, or they're pushing him way too hard. What do you think about that? The lovable loser, I call him.
How are they pushing him? He never ever wins anything. What they're doing with Ambrose is they're using him to patch things up when things are going bad. Because when there's a hole in the storyline, someone gets injured, they just throw Ambrose in there because the fans respond to him and he talks well. And then once the storyline is back up, he loses, and another main guy just joins in and wins whatever is on the line at that time. He's been completely abused, in my opinion.
Well, no, I mean, they do that, but it's the pedestal where he was, where he actually, at the Rumble, they actually thought that he, you know, they put him in there with Triple H. And
he's one of the final four.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, not me, I like Dean Ambrose, but a lot of people surrounding me, just for example, don't like the position he's at. They weren't too much fans of the matchup with Jericho, you know, the Asylum match. So, to me, you know, to think Ambrose would take it, I would really think maybe Zayn or Kevin Owens would be more likely to win.
Well, with Ambrose, I'm a big Ambrose fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it here. And I agree that his character right now is not what it should be. And the match with Jericho, that was weak. It was boring, it was slow, and nothing really happened. The problem here is there's this big discrepancy between what people expect and what people see. And you have two groups of people, those who've seen Jon Moxley and those who haven't. And because I liked Moxley before he became Ambrose, that's why I'm with the people who actually want to see that in him, that actually psychotic behavior. But realistically, you can't get that in the WWE because
it's PG.
You can't get WWE violence. It's not going to happen. And we don't want it to happen, really. But a lot of people don't like Ambrose because they see Ambrose as Ambrose in the WWE, strictly that. And that is a mediocre character. Not his fault again, but the WWE is trying to incorporate his hardcore background, but they're not really providing him with hardcore matches. Gimmick matches, yes. Realistically, hardcore matches, not really. You can't do that with a PG rating.
No, you definitely can. Now it's a publicly owned company, so they have a lot of people to answer to. And you said that Dean Ambrose is kind of working his way now to mediocrity when he was really relevant, especially towards the end of The Shield. But speaking of mediocrity, I mean, Della, it's been kind of a nightmare in terms of releases. The WWE has released a lot of talents. We've had Wade Barrett, Adam Rose, just to name a few. A big one was Damian Sandow. And now the current addition to that list, unfortunately, is Cody Rhodes, one of my personal favorites, not as the Stardust gimmick. What was your initial reaction when you found out that Cody Rhodes had, A, asked for his release, and that the WWE was letting him go with the, and afterwards he gave the tweet? What was your reaction to all of that?
I wasn't that surprised, because with the way his character was going, which is, it wasn't going anywhere, I'm not surprised that he has to be released. Because if you have an ounce of pride, after a few years of being stepped on, you are going to want to leave. And he's been very, I was touched by his letter afterwards, because he's so respectful. He's very grateful to a company that didn't really give him what he deserved. And that shows class to me.
No, absolutely. I mean, Cody Rhodes,
exhibits class in his speech of talking about how he's a pro wrestler and how he felt he wanted to explain it to the fans, which honestly, if you ask most people nowadays in any form of entertainment, they feel they don't owe anything to the public because it's their private life. So definitely that. What do you think the future holds for him? Do you think he may continue being a wrestler? Maybe Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, TNA, who knows? Where do you see Cody going?
That's a difficult question. He said he's going to wrestle in that letter he released. Where is difficult?
Where do you think he fits? If you're going to place him somewhere.
I'm struggling to see him in TNA because regardless of everything, TNA is just too much of a rival to the WWE. And it's going downhill. Everyone's leaving TNA to go to the WWE. Why would you go from the WWE to TNA? It just doesn't make any sense, right?
Well, Ryback thinks it's pretty cool. although he's not going to get paid ever from TNA, but he thinks it's pretty cool to show up on the Impact Zone. But for Cody Rhodes, to me, I think there's a lot of people in that locker room that kind of have the same frustration with creative. And let's be honest. It all boils down to creative. If they like you, if they see something in you, then they're going to push it. But to me, it's not about that. Everybody should have a role, you know. And look what they do with the Social Outcast. They give them, you know, their role. That's the role. The clowns and supposed to make everybody laugh. Fine, that's it. But you know, Cody Rhodes to me is much better than that. Do you see him as a heavyweight champion? No, but somewhere in between, he has a role in there. And the fact that they wouldn't give him the shot to be back to Cody Rhodes, I think was like just an ultimate sign of disrespect. How do you disrespect Cody Rhodes?
It's just not fair because he's good on the microphone, he's good in the ring, he has the legacy of his family, so he basically has everything. Why he got nothing, that's beyond me. I think he might return, not in the next few years, but later on, because if Goldust returned, then why wouldn't Cody?
Yeah, and that whole brass thing of those imaginary brass rings is a joke to me because it's all about like who you impress and who you know and to me again once
just like if, anywhere
exactly no it's true they want you hey grab it but then you get motivated to but then at the end of the day there's no brass ring and to me I think it's gonna lead to more. Wrestlers actually, you know, asking for the release because you know what, you got Ring of Honor, which I think it's stable now, and you can at least go there or you can go to Japan. I mean, look what happened to AJ Styles before going back to New Japan. There was a small chance that he would come back to WWE, and he made a name for himself those 2 years in Japan. And look there, so I think a lot of wrestlers now are gonna go the AJ Styles way and see if they can make a name for themselves overseas. And I think this is the start of a lot more wrestlers asking for their release.
Jeff, that's a great point, and I don't ever give you credit because, quite frankly, I don't want to give you credit. But
Della then brought it up, not me.
It's her fault. No, Della, we really appreciate you coming on. One more thing I wanted to ask you before we have to let you go, unfortunately, because this is the Bulgarian beauty that's more over than even Rusev, so we appreciate her coming on. You like how I did that, John?
I like that. Compliment our guest.
Exactly. We have to. We have to butter her up. We want her back. But Della, with Cody Rhodes now leaving, this doesn't seem like it's going to end. There's definitely going to be more talent leaving because of the frustration with creative and just whatever other excuse they can give. Do you see anybody else possibly that we might not know in your head that might be the next person and be like, wow, didn't see that one coming, or oh, that made sense?
There won't really be many surprises. That's Ryback waiting to leave. Mm-hmm. Possibly, if we're looking at bigger names, possibly Sheamus, because the Rio, because both of them are doing absolutely nothing at the moment. Sheamus is coming back up, so he's in between.
So you think Sheamus Del Rio maybe?
Yeah, Del Rio maybe. Because with Del Rio, he could do so much more in Lucha Underground. I know he's been there already, but they have a really good product going on, and he is a big name, so they will definitely give him a big role. The thing is, there's one thing that's a bit sad. People might want to leave out of pride, mostly, but realistically, the idea is, as you said, well, to go to Japan, get your popularity up and then go to the WWE, and everyone's trying to circle back to the WWE just because they pay more and it's considered to be up.
Listen, it's all about the money at the end of the day. If listen, I could be grumpy all I want, they're not using me right, but if you know they pay my bills and it's a good amount, you know, I'm gonna be a quiet, good soldier and mind my business. But for Cody Rhodes, listen, you know, there's people that save. Like CM Punk saved and he's doing his thing because he had other stuff to do.
You mean Phil Brooks?
Phil Brooks, CM Punk, mm-hmm. He had stuff to do. Cody Rhodes, obviously, he saved. He can do other things. So that's fine. But there's other people that can't, that have to be quiet soldiers. So, yeah, no, at the end of the day, only a select few can have that option. Hey, I want to ask my release and go overseas or do my own thing. So, you know, I totally get that. So,
yeah, and that's why I do this show, is for the money. So, yeah. You know, with that, and I've said it, and I know I've said it a number of times. Last question. Because I have to ask this question, because you talked about how you watched it growing up and then you kind of went away from it and you rewatched wrestling again. Favorite wrestler?
Oh.
The one that gets you started.
Well, when we were little, the male hero would always be The Rock and the female was Chyna. For me, when I was a little girl, Chyna was an idol. I thought she was so amazing. This is what a woman should be. She's strong. She kicks ass. Like, she takes guys and tosses them around. That's what a woman should be like, all dressed in black leather and fighting.
Did you dress up as Chyna for Halloween?
Well, my mom wouldn't be happy with that.
But you wanted to. See, you said your mom wouldn't be happy with that, but that didn't mean you didn't, right?
True.
And The Rock, so the people eyebrow, the people's champion all over the world, Jeff.
I know. Look, touch a place in Dell's heart. So how upset were you when you heard the news about Chyna?
It was shocking because I know that she's had issues. I know that her life didn't go well, but she was still young. I mean, it wasn't her time yet.
No, it wasn't. Just never seemed like she could find, like, that place after the WWE, and you feel bad for like what happened and how things went about, you know, because you know, one day you think everything's going great and then all of a sudden you just get blindsided by the person you think you love is you know, not that person, and then you get released for no reason and she just couldn't seem to ever get over that.
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing, unfortunate, about this business that the three of us love so much. It's that, you know, you see those unfortunate things happen. You would hope the fences would be mended. They've been talking about how she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame now, but then it's going to be a little bit bittersweet because I think she deserves to be in there. But when she is in there, it should be her on that podium talking, much like Macho Man Randy Savage deserves to be in the Hall of Fame all those years. And Jeff and I went to the Hall of Fame, and unfortunately, we couldn't see Macho Man. We wanted to hear from Macho Man Randy Savage himself. But again, you know, Chyna, there's no doubt she's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, The Rock, well, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, basically, he saved the company on his shoulders anyway.
His whole
anyway.
Speech will be the Hall of Fame.
His whole speech
won't
will be
anybody else.
His whole speech will go about 45 minutes, and it'll be 20 minutes of silent pauses of people just chanting, Rocky, Rocky. And Della will be one of them because she'll probably be there. Have you been to WrestleMania before?
No, I haven't, because I've never actually been to the States. If you bring WrestleMania to the UK, that's a different story. I'd be the first one to buy a ticket.
You would think so, right? They've gone everywhere in the United States. It's just about time they go to the United Kingdom. And hey, if they do, Jeff and I will be right there, because we've gone to everyone now since WrestleMania 29. And before you know it, you know, we'll go to local, what is it, pub, right? And we'll have a pint. Is that what they call it? I don't know. I've never been to the United Kingdom before. I've never been to that area. What do you call it? The bars are pubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what, like a beer? I'll have a glass of beer is like a pint or something?
Yep, and pints are usually bigger than the normal glass.
Yes! First round's on us, though.
I'm Della first, and then, you know, we'll get, you know.
Della, we thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And like I said, as you know, SummerSlam rolls around the corner, and you know, before you know, WrestleMania will be here too. It's going to be in Florida. And you know, who knows? Maybe after that will be in the United Kingdom. And then we'll get a chance to see you in person and do the show actually live in person via video on the internet, streaming live. So I want to thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Again, you can catch her on Twitter at Della.
Actually, have her say it. Plug yourself,
yes,
though.
Plug yourself,
please.
Though.
Tell me, what do you have coming up, all this stuff, and get it out
the
there.
The Bulgarian Beauty, please leave us with these final words.
Oh, wow. Well, my Twitter is Della Luzanova. And you can read my stuff on PW Mania featured section, the wrestling informant, and obviously my reviews at the WWE comment section.
Yes, couldn't have said it better myself.
See,
so
I told you, that's why you got, you know, you just let her. She, who better to market herself than herself?
And she has an beautiful accent. I must say that. I must close with that. Amazing accent. And like I said, hopefully you'll come on the show again. We'd love to have you. And like I said, don't be a stranger.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely.
And that was Della Lazanova. You can catch her at Twitter at Della Lazanova. Great. Love that accent, Jeff. I love it.
Oh, the Bulgarian beauty joined us, and hopefully she'll join us again. But, I mean, yeah, could you imagine us going to UK, having, you know, a
couple
pint?
Couple pints.
A pint with her, and just weird WrestleMania in the UK. That'd be kind of weird. But
that's a great point, though. They've done it everywhere in the United States now. I mean, I know they'll always build new buildings, but after a while, how many times have you been in Florida?
You know, I mean, they did SummerSlam at Wembley, so you would think logically they might put a WrestleMania there one day, but logistics, and then, you know, what time the pay-per-view would be on, just you got to think about that first. So, but
I think it would work just because, like, they have such a huge European following anyway. I mean, many people
do.
Come from Europe, from Ireland, UK. You can only imagine if it's in that area, in their hometown. It'd be a lot easier for everybody else. And I think it would just be as a rowdy crowd as, you know, any post-WrestleMania Raw would be. So who knows? Maybe it will happen, and then we'll share a pint and, you know.
The first round's on her, though.
Exactly. And I'm sure it won't be difficult to find a lot of pubs by there anyway.
Yeah, and that was Della Lazanova, who has her own section, the WWE comments section that she writes for, and she's also an informant and writer for PW Mania. Follow her on Twitter at Della Lazanova. I mean, honestly, great stuff from her, and we're going to be fortunate to get her back on again, hopefully soon enough.
Yes, hopefully in the near future. So, Jeff, what's next with you?
What's next for me is a bunch of stuff to talk about, working on some more interviews for you guys to hear, exciting guests coming up on the way.
And if you want to find out where those guests are, hit us up on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Follow us, please. We like the friends. But at the same time, all your questions, comments, and guests that Jeff keeps rolling them in, and we keep knocking them out. So, you know, for my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I thank you for your presence here.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir.
And for me, Brian Berga, we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and you have been listening to the High Spot Podcast.
Anything else?
No,
I think Extreme Rules, Money in the Bank, Kevin Owens, Charlotte. No, we're good.
We're good. That's all I said.
Did you talk about Roman Reigns?
No, we've done enough Roman Reigns for now.
All right, then. I'm going to get the hell out of here.
So, guys, we will catch you again next week for another episode of the High Spot Podcast. And until then, I bid adieu, and we will see you next time.
Later.